Children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity.
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my two-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second funniest podcast. This is episode 234.
Dum, dum, dum.
Did you just call me stupid?
No, I called you dumb.
Come on. That's
everybody.
What happens. Right out of the box, I'm pounding a microphone that you only sounds annoying to you and is shaking computers. I don't know why I wanted to do that. I just got happy all of a sudden.
Yeah, because you haven't been happy all night.
No. I had a rough day as a father with my son all day today. And I think what adds to the anxiety and the stress of it is that I feel that when he bothers me, that it makes me feel like maybe I'm not being such a good dad. So I think that heightens it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Heightens the level of stress. Like if I felt like I was just a shitty father, then I could just live in the shitty father juice that I've made and not have to worry about, you know, there's no ramifications or anything. I'm like, oh, I'm a shitty dad. I'm indifferent. It's like ignorance is bliss. But because I have rejection issues, now all of a sudden I feel like, now, way to go, Justin. You're giving him your rejection issues. What a jerk. Nerf, 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 nerf. So that was...
Therapy's been good for you.
Yeah, it has. Unbelievably good for me. I highly recommend it to anybody who is out there listening who feels like... Here's what I think. I think it should, instead of making you stay, you know, I don't know if you, did you do this in high school where you had to take stock?
What's that?
Like, you know how you take a math class and then they tell you to, like, they give you a fake money and then you track stocks
to figure
out how much money.
I think everybody did that. We didn't do it in math, though. We did it in, like, some government class.
Government, okay.
Yeah.
I think instead of doing that, everybody should have to go to a clinical therapist of some kind.
Sure.
Like a professional, not some bullshit school counselor. And if you're a school counselor listening to this, goes like, well, I could therapize on somebody. You're wrong. You can't. I've been to a school therapist and they didn't help me.
I can therapize to someone?
Isn't that the verb form of counseling or whatever?
Yes, absolutely.
So right here out of the box, I can't help but be distracted by Kevin has a beautiful new toy.
No, it's not a toy. It's a very highly efficient piece of machinery.
Uh-huh.
It's a workflow organizer and awesome.
Is this how you justified your company paying for this? Is that what just... Okay.
Many people from the church listen to this podcast. Your tithe dollars at work, folks.
You want to edit this part out?
Nope.
Nothing says
coming by.
Nothing says church in Hollywood by a little Jesus iPad.
Now here's the thing. let's be fair. Now when you work at a new job, like you get a job at an office, right?
Uh-huh.
And they give you, what are some things that you would automatically get for working in a job at an office?
If I was to work in an office, I would probably like an up job. Like I'll tell you what my dad gets.
Sure.
My dad gets a car.
Okay.
He gets a laptop and a cell phone.
Okay. And like what else? He's in an office, right? So what are the other
things? No, he doesn't have an office. He's out on the road. So
if he did have an office, he would get...
A computer.
Sure.
He would probably have access to a networked printer, maybe.
Okay, yeah. How about things like a desk? Would he get a desk? Maybe a chair?
So you're saying I overexerted myself on this jumping? Is what you're saying?
Because for so long, my employment at the church, I didn't have a chair. I didn't have a desk. I had some table that we found that was about a foot taller than any human should ever be at when they're using a desk. So, and the chair was like some hand-me-down, weird, bad, rolly chair. And so I'd sit there, and after about an hour, my wrists would be cutting off from circulation typing.
How do you go to work without a chair? Like, how do they create...
We had a chair, but what I'm saying, it wasn't a chair you would sit at
I know what you mean, but I'm just saying, like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. When I say chair, I mean a chair that was usable, not a bar stool.
Well, and again, it's not like I was sitting there going, why would these assholes give me a chair? You know, we did what we could to get through it. We didn't have a fridge. Somebody donated a fridge to...
So you're saying you paid your dues to get this iPad.
Absolutely. So,
and this iPad isn't for personal use. It's for professional use.
Never for personal use.
Yeah. Why are you playing StarCraft on it right now?
No, you can't. I wish you could play StarCraft on it. Hold on. I have to plug in my laptop.
Oh, plugging in the laptop. I wish so bad.
We're back.
I found this thing. I was here the whole time. That's
well, I have more to tell. We don't want to be guilty of doing too many stories because I feel like you were telling some other story when the iPad came up into the middle of the
story. No, I finished that. I talked about how my son was driving me nuts.
So he, so your son,
yeah.
I mean, my iPad, same level of love.
Yes.
So I had to pay for half of my desk when I finally got my own desk. My chair was a donation from the former lead pastor. He left the chair behind. It's a sweet chair. I won't fight. I don't talk about how bad the chair used to be because I have about a $400 chair that I'm sitting in
Maybe
now.
You shouldn't be saying this part, too.
But see, no, here's the deal. I'm still using this computer, which is my personal laptop that I use. And we hired a new communications director, and she comes in, and because we now have a church with some funds for office stuff, she got a new like desk calendar. And a whiteboard in her office and a brand new desk and a new computer as soon as she walked in. And I was looking around. I'm like, man, I print out Outlook calendar sheets and thumbtack them to my wall. I went into our executive pastor's office and was like, could I get like a cork board and a calendar? Would that be possible? Has that been
With this thing, can't you have your calendar on it?
Well, then this is on Sunday mornings. This is what the iPad's for. Is on Sunday mornings, anybody who's been to Ecclesia will probably recognize me as the guy with a Bluetooth in his ear and a giant ugly clipboard. And I'll have about 100 different sheets of paper. And that's not an exaggeration. With all sorts of different information of what's going on in the church so that I can instantly access anything. But the thing about paper is it's not super organized. I'm like, I've got color-coded combos and codes so I know, like, okay, you're looking for this. Always, I'm just standing there
flipping
through
sheets. So you can have
sheets
of paper on this thing.
Yeah, so I have everything digital now. Now I just walk around with the iPad. It's much better. I can't leave it alone in the bathroom stall. That's the only rule.
Which is great because you're kind of saving God's air filters.
I think so. What? God's air filters?
Trees.
Oh, well played.
Right?
yeah, that's what I feel about it. And it's so much cooler. And it's better to talk to volunteers. But people give me crap.
I love how
care.
I throw out this eco-friendly aspect, and you're like, and it's so much cooler.
It is cooler. I mean, look at this thing.
I can't see it because it's all pointed at you.
It's like we're on radio. No, you can see it.
You can hear me.
I can see
a glow. Like, it looks very, like heavenly coming off of,
yeah,
like,
it's
like, you know, I feel like we should turn this light off above you.
Yeah, oh, that'd be good. Oh, there you go.
Feel the glow of that?
Yeah. Man, these people wish they could see this.
Getting a little... I wonder if you sat in front of a computer screen or a television playing video games, like is there a specific hue to your skin? Not from lack of sun, but or just from the what kind of spectrum of rays come off of a television? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, because obviously, you know, the sun will keep you awake. You get melatonin, and that will help energize you.
Melatonin?
Melatonin. I think it's melatonin.
Sure.
Yeah, and what do you think it is?
I thought it was... melanoma, but I think
that's the name of the cancer. Melatonin is the actual thing that
you
cycles
keep going.
In your body.
I'm gonna look it up.
And so, like, if you're on a long plane flight from one side of the world to the other, and you need to stay awake, you put a flashlight under your knees, and it'll trigger your body into thinking that it's awake, and then it needs to produce more melatonin. It's true.
So you're saying if I'm on a long road trip, I put a flashlight under my knees.
Well, if it's dark, what the point is to like kind of recalibrate your body to the new time zone, you put that flashlight there and hold it. It's an old world traveler's trick.
World traveler's trick.
I don't appreciate you laughing at me. it's
melanin.
Melanin. Did I say melatonin?
Yes.
I wonder what melatonin is.
Hold on. It's right here. What's the body's biggest organ? You might be surprised to find out it's the skin, which you might not think of as an organ, no matter how you think of it.
Maybe you didn't know that.
Your skin is very important. You have to look at this site. It's made for eighth graders.
Oh, well, there it is.
It covers and protects everything inside your body. Without skin, people's muscles, bones, and organs would be hanging out all over the place. I hate bullshit like this. When they try to educate someone, like, I just feel like now you're not, like, skin does a good enough job. Just saying, you know what I mean? You don't have to oversell skin. Because to me, that's diminishing the, I'm being serious.
I know you are. It's also distracting because we're still in the dark.
Oh, I don't want any melatonin creeping into my melanin.
All right.
But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it diminishes the significance of skin by saying, without all this.
Well, they have to make it exciting, as if it wasn't exciting
that's
enough.
It's exciting.
I think it is.
It's exciting.
Skin is the epidermal.
It's awesome.
It's
what
there's epidermal pup.
People can,
the
artify it or whatever, or draw on it. They can. There are different colors of it. You know what I mean? We have black people, brown people, yellow people.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
I think that yellow one's offensive.
Do you? Why?
I'm ready for your letters. we don't get letters.
Is yellow offensive? Like that's
supposed to be Asian, I think.
I know, but is that offensive?
I don't think so. But I'm white, so what do I know about what's offensive?
You're not actually white. You're more of a pink.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not going to be good for me. That means I can't. Maybe that means I could have qualified for student loans.
Oh, maybe. Are you?
I could have checked pink on that form.
I dare you.
Maybe that. Oh, I wonder if I put pink in like the other, if they would have considered me albino and that I didn't understand.
Yeah, because those people are white. Their skin is white. We're a pink,
and we call them pink.
Yeah,
we got this whole skin color thing.
Who calls them pinks?
They're pink colored. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would say that's what made me think of it. An albino is a pink. Like, you know?
Their eyes are pink sometimes. What are you talking about?
I was talking about albinos, that they look pink to me.
Yeah. How they look white. That's the point of an albino. They're white.
Which is pink. When you put white on skin.
What are you talking about?
When you put white on skin, it is pink. Don't you think?
If you put, like, white what?
Like white skin.
Okay.
On top of, wait, hold on. What lack of pigment onto skin, because that's what white is, the absence of color.
Okay. Are you talking about like a piece of white skin on another piece of white skin?
White is the reflection of all color in light.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's because it absorbs no colors.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm still confused. I have lots of trivia about
spectrums.
Okay, I want
to turn the light on because it's distracting me. Why can't
I
move
now
my microphone?
It's distracting you?
Why can't I move
it's a foot away. Just turn the...
I love how this show, we became old men. We're talking like we're arguing about
I got my iPad here.
Well, that's not old. I wonder what is going to be the new thing that kids play with when you and I are 60.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that lately.
Well, you're an early adopter, so you have to prepare for this.
Thank you for that segue into my material. So you know, as an early adopter, I'm all the time thinking...
That material, you shut your face. No. I didn't know.
No, I know, okay, but good. It's great. As an early adopter, I'm all the time thinking, what? I'm just having casual conversation.
It doesn't sound casual.
No, this is how I always talk.
I have known you for 13 years,
That's
and
true.
You have never said, hello, Justin.
No, all the time.
What would you like to have for lunch today?
I don't sound like that right now. All right. So, as I was saying, as an early adopter, I'm all the time thinking... about what the next technology would be, you know, right? Yeah. Because there used to be the Atari, and that was cool.
Uh-huh.
It was a little before my time, probably yours as well. How many people are here born in 1977?
Kevin, this is casual conversation, yet you're delivering it like it's in front of a room full of people, and it's you and I.
There's an entire group of people listening on the other side of these microphones,
That's
Mr.
True.
Worsham.
That's true.
I'm talking to them.
But what they
excuse me for having a little showmanship. Now, as I was saying, as an early adopter, I'm all the time thinking about what the next technology will be.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Atari used to be cool when we were kids, but that's a little bit before my time. How many of you were born before 1977?
Not me.
I don't remember what comes next.
You didn't said that yet.
That's the problem. No, what I think when I try to stretch the imagination, okay, we'll take it back to current day, right?
Yeah, take it from the top.
So, as an early adopter. Now, if you look back at, what was that amazing movie?
The Atari or what?
Fahrenheit 497, Fahrenheit 4.
You're not talking about Fahrenheit 9/11.
No, I'm talking
Michael
about
Moore,
the riff on that, the original book that
the
was
inspiration.
A film. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fahrenheit. Oh, much smarter if I know my references. Anyway, in that film, they in the book they have a holodeck, but and so they're walking around and people get lost in these reality worlds.
451.
There it is. 451. And in the film version, they couldn't do that because it was way too expensive. So they had big screens on the wall, and people would get lost in watching television. The plot of the story is that there are no books. That's what Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah, they destroyed them all.
And that's the degree at which paper burns is 451. So people would watch these TVs. In fact, the lead character's wife, for most of the film, sits in front of a giant television. But it looks exactly like your LCD screen here. It's about...
And this was made like 30 years ago or 40.
Made like in the 60s. Yeah. It's a very old film. But the difference... So they got all that right. They got the... Even the aspect ratio is what we're using today at all. And it looks good. And it's the same sort of idea. But the concept of a remote control was outside of their imagination. So when she's... Even though she's the laziest person on the world, in the world. When she wants to change the channel, she gets up and changes it on the wall because they hadn't.
So she has to go up and touch. Weirdly enough, they have a touch screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not in a remote control.
Not a remote control because that wasn't something they had thought of. So now you look now and everybody's got, you know, you have remote controls everywhere. So I thought, what's it going to be that's outside of my ability to think? Like, what would it? Same thing 500
years
ago.
What's our remote control?
Yeah, like light bulbs. Having light in a room is now second place. You expect light to be in a room.
Yeah.
500 years ago to get light in a room would have required fire and a big deal. So
and that big deal you have to carry with you. It's like that was a lighter or what do you mean?
Like
a
lamp or it could be very dangerous. You have to get fuel to keep it going. You have to find a way to keep it contained so it doesn't catch on fire. You could lose your whole home if smallpox doesn't get to your kids first.
I feel like you've
all
thought,
of this is going in the
you've
act.
Thought about this more than you needed to.
No, this is what I think about.
Oh,
it.
This is when for
I
your
idle,
stand-up.
You know, when people idle at like 800 RPMs or whatever, this, when I'm just hanging out on long road trips.
You think about what it takes to go back to the Stone Age.
This is where my brain like, so what technology will be around in 500 years?
No, I'm more worried about what
mayonnaise.
I'm more worried about what it takes to have fire exist in place of life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that, you're rattling off your grocery
time.
List.
Yeah, because you walk into like Macy's, right? I was walking around the mall and I look around and at all the people with cell phones because technology, when it first shows up, just sort of pushes its way into culture and we don't know exactly what to do with it. Right now, cell phones are still a little cumbersome. They're everywhere. But people, you got several devices like my iPad. It's like, well, it doesn't completely fit into technology, but lights are everywhere and they're not obtrusive. They're not a big deal. Whereas computers back in the 80s, if you had a computer behind a cash register, right, it was a giant RCT screen, huge buttons that you had to press, and it was making a lot of noise. Half the time it wouldn't connect to the credit card companies or whatever. Now it's a tiny little screen sitting behind the desk. Nobody thinks of it. The technology is seamless. Same thing with lights now. So what is that next jump? And I have it for you.
Oh, you already adopted it.
Shape-shifting technology.
Holy shitballs, you are nuts.
Come on. Does it exist anywhere? No. That is outside of your ability to imagine, right? You would not know what to do with something.
Maybe my ability to imagine because I'm not crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you just imagined it. So I think by your own, like, premise, it's flawed.
But see, like, you wouldn't, your entire life would change if some object that you had could change shape. If you had one thing that was a cell phone and it could also be...
So, like, it would be, like, the equivalent of that clay that for a while was really popular that you would use as, like, kind of like a stress ball or to work out your hands and stuff. When people were first working on computers, their fingers weren't used to working that much, so they had that... I had a couple versions of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would be like, you carry that around, and then you could just think it into being your cup
or maybe
when you go to the water
cooler.
Who
knows what the interface would be? Maybe you talk to it. I'm not sure. But the point is, like...
Well, I mean, if you're going to be unimaginable, liquid, why not just be able to think it?
All right, I love it.
Will it to
some
be.
Sort of liquid polymer plastic that would be able to shift its shape depending on your need, right? Because everything, when you're trying to pack right now, that's super difficult. You have to know exactly what the dimensions are. What if your laptop could change shape in order to fit into a bag with other things? No more need for custom bags. No more need. So that's a million years from now.
I saw, you know, it's funny because I saw there was some kind of ad or something or video about something like that where somebody essentially took an iPhone and twisted it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Like they like you would break a graham cracker. Yeah, yeah, way, yeah. Like one hand, you know what I mean? Or a Rubik's Cube motion. That's the best way to describe that. So they twisted it and the
Which
idea...
Which I always want to do whenever I hold my iPod Touch. If you have an iPod Touch, the things are so frail, like little babies. But a baby you don't love and you're just like, I want to break it to see what's inside of it. Don't ever let me babysit.
Yes, yeah, start treating it like a baby you love. But yeah, so I think that's somewhere... I like that idea that it shipped. My idea was just like having a computer being... thought driven, like that's what I first thought. So because I when you said the iPad is a little cumbersome, I'm like, oh, imagine being able to access files just by thinking about it, which I think would make us robots.
Well, there are two more technologies, one that people hope are coming and the other one that is coming. I can tell you both. Which one do you want?
I have to choose only one?
No, you can choose both.
Both.
Okay. Here's the one that people want to come. These people that are convinced.
When does the technology come along to remove dramatic questions?
Never. That's the human condition, my friend.
You threw me unbelievably upside down because I was like,
oh, I feel like I have to only choose one, but why? It doesn't make sense to not have both. Like, I thought there was some kind of time limit. I was unaware.
Three, two,
stop
one.
Down.
Time's up. Okay, so there are a group of people that are convinced that as technology escalates in its ability to compute, so your computer, your iPod, whatever, that the human brain will not be able to catch up with it. Currently, the human brain thinks about 20 times faster than any existing computer. But eventually, I mean, that's only over 100 years of computers, and it exponentially grows. So eventually, it stands to reason that a
computer... Not even 100 years.
Yeah, computers are probably 80 years old.
50, 60 years old.
Somewhere in... Yeah, I think our first computer was the giant, like, apartment-sized calculator. I think it was somewhere in the 40s. I could be corrected by that. Hit me if I'm wrong, Jordan Rosa. I know you will.
We could look it up. When was the first computer? Around. Keep going. I'm sorry.
So what was I talking about?
You said in 100 years of computers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So eventually computers will be so fast thinking that the only way for humans to interact with them will be to have interconnecting nodes so that we will have part of our brain will have like a USB port or whatever the equivalent will be. So you can plug straight into a computer and it'll be the way that we can access technology and control things and communicate to each other because the normal forms of communication and technology won't be will be too cumbersome. You didn't hear any of that because you're looking
No, I did too.
Okay, go ahead. What year?
But you were right. 1946.
Yeah, I thought so.
It says the ENIAC's design and construction were financed by the United States Army during World War II. The construction contract was signed on June 5th, 1943, and work on the computer was begun in secret by the University of Pennsylvania's Moore School of Electrical Engineering starting the following month under the codename Project PX. The completed machine was unveiled on February 14th, 1946 at the University of Pennsylvania, having cost almost $500,000, nearly $6 million in 2008, adjusted for inflation. It was formally accepted by the U.S. Army Ordnance Corps in July 1946. ENIAC was shut down on November 9th, 1946 for a refurbishment and a memory upgrade. Now
because
it's that all-seeing eye. After the movie War Games became too real to believe. Not true. That last part
that
was
part
not
was
true.
True. Well, that's 46. And then by the 80s, you know, they're so small, they're on people's desks. Of course, the microprocessor was invented and so on and so forth. And yeah. It jumped technology.
What is this, though? It says a memory upgrade and was transferred to Aberdeen Proving Ground, Maryland in 1947. There on July 29th, 1947, it was turned on and was in continuous operation until 11:45 p.m. on October 2nd, 1955. That's when they shut that first like computer that the Army
used. I
wonder
what it's doing now. Well, I mean, it didn't do much more than what your basic calculator can do now.
Yeah, what it said that it was designed to calculate artillery firing tables for the United States Army's Ballistic Research Laboratory, but its first use was in calculations for the hydrogen bomb.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Good times.
That's incredible. So the other technology.
So 60 years then, or 70 years.
So and that's what they believe is that these people that want to live forever think in the next 40 years that technology jump will happen and we'll have ports in our brain which will then extend our lives as a result because we'll be able to remap our minds.
That'll totally fuck Social Security.
But I think it'll create a post-apocalyptic Earth without having actual, because if you've seen the Terminator movies, that's what it's all about. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that's just crazy talking.
You don't think Terminator's going to happen or Social Security's going to be fucked?
No, definitely Social Security's out the window. That's, the Terminators are more likely to happen than Social Security actually giving us a penny. You give me both of those scenarios.
I feel like what's going to happen is that when you and I turn 65, we're going to somehow be paying $300 a month to keep my in-laws alive longer. Oh, my gosh.
But by then, that'll be the same cost of like a Coke or something.
$300 a month for a Coke?
Yeah, probably.
That's a hefty subscription.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cheap.
Coke is going to go subscription-based in your mind.
Yes. It's also a digital download. So you're like, I would like to experience a Coke. And you press a button and then you just taste it.
That's low-cal. That is serious Coke Zero.
Blowing your mind. The other technology that will happen in the next 15 to 20 years is carbon nanotube technology. Have we talked about this on the show?
Thank you, narrator from 1950s Disney cartoons.
This is part of my stand-up routine.
I'm sorry. I'm heckling you and I'm not aware.
My open mic material without our audiences.
You might
carbon nanotube technology. I like the nights where you're a little more mellow. I get more room to talk.
Should I take a Vicodin every day before
the
show?
Did you take a Vicodin?
No. But I just feel like that's the only... That was the first thought that I had. Maybe I should just start smoking pot.
before
the show. Did you smoke pot before the show?
That I did do.
That makes sense.
Did not.
I wonder your son was eating all those crackers.
He did. He got high as hell. He is high as fuck right now. I'm sorry. So you were saying nanotube technology.
Dude, I don't remember.
Your contact high from me talking about it. Unplug your brain from the USB, bro.
Do you think if I put in my contacts, I'll get a contact high?
I think you should leave.
I've never been high, so I don't know if that's accurate. carbon nanotube technology.
You think you have to try pot to not understand the basic like biochemistry of your eyes?
I have.
Biochemistry made me sound too smart on that one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, but there are smart potheads. Some of them do it to mellow.
Name one.
I don't know any. I avoid those people. I have had a contact high before.
Does anybody at the church smoke pot?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they do.
You got to have a lot of potheads.
I'm sure.
They probably use the argument it should be legalized because God made it.
I wouldn't doubt it.
How is it that God made, like, say, pot,
yeah,
right? But then it's illegal. Like, mm-hmm. To me, I feel like it, like every Christian should just be toking a bowl.
Well, that answer, there actually is an answer. Is that we follow the laws of our nation because we believe that nobody in power would be in power without God's authority given to them. So if someone, even if I don't agree with a law, will obey it because it's the law.
Okay.
Fortunately, we live in a society where we can have a voice, and if we think a law is being passed that we don't agree with, like, you know, churches shouldn't exist, we can stand up for ourselves and say,
when you would start getting high and grabbing guns.
Exactly, and breaking babies like iPods. That last part may or may not be in the New Testament.
The New Testament.
The New, yeah. Old Mormons.
New Testament. So what is tubular nanotechnology?
Carbon nanotube technology.
Oh, I called it tubular.
Yeah, that's the future. There's actually two forms of it. One right now, the one that we're going to talk about, it will allow for printing to happen on regular sheets of paper, but it'll be essentially binary, so the ink will know to turn itself on and off, so it'll give you an animated object when printing. So a piece of paper can have pictures that move. So when you go to Starbucks, your paper cup that goes around your cup, the little icon can have an ad on it or something, or a scrolling thing. To the point where, and this is about 15, 20 years away, to the point where paper will be your screen. You'll just be able to print out on a piece of paper, and then the computer will interface with it, and you'll be able to use a piece of paper like it was like an iPad. That's the future.
And then that's when it's over?
Yeah, then we're done. Then dinosaurs come back, and it turns out time was a circle.
I'm excited because that means I'm 30 years from dinosaurs.
Yeah, welcome
That's
back.
Great. I'm a little bummed that I'm going to be in my 60s when the dinosaurs come because I don't feel like I'm going to be able to enjoy them. You know what I mean?
You'll have one of those garbage disposals underneath your sink that's actually a turtle, uh-huh. So it'll work out really well.
We're going to go Flintstones.
I think that was implicit and implied.
Explicit.
And impeccable. So the other form of carbon, it's a really thin, sturdy material, and they think that they can use it to string along a tether from the Earth to the outer atmosphere, and that's how we'll get up into space. Because right now, to get there, it takes an immense amount of rocket fuel to burst through the...
But a gym rope is much better?
Yeah, because it'll be sturdy and lightweight, and so once you get it up into space, the actual stratosphere will lock it there, so as the Earth spins, it kind of flings it away from itself, and it'll be stuck up in the atmosphere, and then you'll be able to ride it up. You'll be able to take like a cart or something, an elevator, into the stratosphere, and then launch from there.
Who would do that?
I would.
I would not do that.
Could you imagine? No, it'll be safe. In Star Trek, that's what
you
want
to make the planet into a koosh ball and ride up one of the
just
strands.
One. Just not all of them, you know, but yes. No,
hold on. You can't do it. Where are we going to put the one? You know what I mean?
Florida or Texas. That's where they always go.
I know we won the space race, but like, how are we going to decide who gets to have the treehouse to space?
It'll be relatively thin. So your fear isn't that it's going to come crashing down on the Earth.
No. I know. Yeah, I know the Earth is big enough. What I'm saying is the argument of there only being one
is several.
Flawed.
Sure, sure,
yeah,
sure.
Because now there's going to be all these strands
that
are just whipping around up there.
But that is possibly within our lifetime, although not likely for economical reasons, not for technology reasons. We could be there now if we wanted, but there isn't a push for it. And quite frankly, I don't think it'd be responsible of us because there's still people living in the streets. I don't know if that's right.
Well, screw them.
We went to the moon.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kenyans.
I mean, pay taxes and then you can go to the space place.
Yeah. I'm going to go to space place.
You can't talk smart to homeless people. Because when...
Quiet, caveman.
Are you really? Because here's the thing. In my mind, I had an audience person listening to this.
There's only one.
And I forgot the live stream. I totally forgot about that. But anyway, in my mind, we had an audience listening to this that is like, oh my, he's going after homeless people. They're going to be hurt. And it's like, no, they don't have iPods. And
some of them do.
Do they have access to be able to update?
Possibly, but you'd be surprised.
If you're homeless and you're listening to the show, I want you to be a guest on this show.
That'd be sweet.
So
I know
please write us in show@secondfunniestpodcast.com and we'll set it up.
Make sure you do it through an FTP server.
You're just
trying to make it difficult to give them all sorts of...
No, I'm just saying send me an email and I'll give you $400 to come down here to get a meal just so we could talk to what kind of homeless guy updates on podcasts.
A lot of homeless people have cell phones.
And if it's a homeless chick, I know that there's somebody out there who's like, could be, it have to be a guy. There's also homeless women, and I don't want to talk to a homeless woman.
Because
she's lesser.
I wouldn't want a homeless woman in your house.
Why?
Because you have a baby.
You think she's going to take my baby?
Probably snap it in two like an iPod Touch. Just rip that thing apart.
They are more aggressive. Homeless. I don't know. I read somewhere on Wikipedia that homeless women are like chimpanzees when threatened.
Okay.
And they go after your face and scratch out your eyes. And then they remove your genitals so that you can no longer procreate and create competition for them. Or what I feel, the concept of vengeance. Like chimpanzees understand vengeance. That if I can, you know, knock up another chimpanzee chick and through my seat of my loins, I can tell another chimpanzee, avenge my facial massacring. You know, that's why they rip out the genitals after. They claw off the face. Well, you're not the only one who knows stuff, Kevin.
We've got to get you a real computer. This book you keep writing in and then reading to yourself.
It is a light bright. And it works in the same way digital technology was invented. On, off. That's how it goes down. Binary code. That's how I send my emails.
I want to throw up in your freezer.
My freezer.
That'd be a pretty terrible place to throw up.
No, I feel like you could get it out of there.
Yeah, but could you imagine having to clean that up? It's like
yes,
ice cold.
Yes, I can. I'm
barf.
A father. I clean up shit. I clean. You know what I've had to do?
I'm going to poop and throw up.
Although I'm technically supposed to save this for the dad podcast, but
are the rules now?
No, I've had to sift through my son's fecal matter.
You can call it. Why can't you say shit and then poop and then say fecal matter when actually referring to it?
Because to call it shit in that moment for some reason felt derogatory towards my son, and I love him. And I've been pretty hard on him today. So
you love his poop to the point where you'll call it the medical term for feces.
Fecal matter is the medical term?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was a fancy way of saying horse shit.
No. The fancy way of saying horse shit is quadrupedal feces.
Feces. I hate you.
Why do you hate me? Hate Latin. That's Latin.
That is not Latin.
Quadrupedal feces. Can I get anybody with any sort of law degree?
Quit talking. This is a downloadable show, all right? There's one guy listening.
408-228-4911.
How funny would it be if it was Kat and Natalie upstairs on a laptop watching and listening to what we're talking about right now?
Actually, it's you, I think. Oh, no.
No, I'm not on.
Spectre Man is on right now.
Oh, that's right. He's the pedophile.
Right now he says...
Oh, wait, no. Spectre Band is, what's his name? Rob or Bob. I can't remember which one he prefers to go by.
It says there's an IEEE conference article that laid out all the problems with that. I'm sure that's relevant to something we were talking about earlier.
You should really pay attention to these chats.
I saw it, but I didn't... I was talking. And then he said, wow, I'm a nerd. I just said that. Oh, he must have been... I must have said something that he said. Have you ever smart... Yep. Thanks, Rob. And then he said, Space Rat Man.
Oh, Space Rat Man.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, well, he's all over this carbon fiber koosh-ball Earth, and he's into space.
I totally want to go to carbon foosball Earth. So, you know, you've kind of shifted my paradigm a little with this whole super pups encouragement, if we can shift into that conversation.
Okay.
For a second,
I thought I just gave you an orgasm. You used a lot of words that Daddy doesn't understand there.
I told you it's Latin.
Shift my paradigm.
Get
I hope we use protection.
A dictionary. How hard is this for you?
A Latin dictionary? How hard? That's archaic. It's an archaic.
arcane language.
The throwback machine.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I've had a contact high. So the the shift in my paradigm, to catch us up, you've encouraged me to relive my youth dream of turning a comic strip that I drew as a child into an internet cartoon, just in case somebody didn't listen to the several episodes.
No, I listened to every episode.
I'm not talking about...
While we do it.
Wow. SBC equals specialist. So, awesome.
Oh, why did he say Space Rat Man? You said Space Rat Man?
He said SPC Rat Man.
Specialist, then. That's a military thing. I'm sorry, but it's Robert. His dad goes by Bob, I think.
Why are you mad at me?
Because you're making me sound like a jackass.
You know, maybe your
son... I'm starting to doubt this whole Kooshball thing. Now tell me about my son.
Maybe your son wasn't bad today. Maybe you were bad.
I believe it.
Maybe you had the smoke on the mirror and it was really you.
I believe it. Maybe. I believe, like, because here's the thing.
Hit me.
My father, I don't know where that came from.
It's because it always comes back to your dad. What's really bothering you?
Listen, yeah. You are no Dr. Malloy, all right?
I'm Dr. Millar.
My weekend was rough, okay, because Saturday morning, yeah. I got up at 6:30 in the morning with my son because my wife couldn't handle it, and I know I'm going to sound misogynistic, so buckle up. Here it comes, single people.
Yeah, get the feet, maybe some of the shoulders.
What?
Oh, that's misogynistic. Yeah. Sorry.
So anyway,
kind of slid that one right by you.
I was like, what the hell? Oh, he was punning. Now I get it. So I get up, and I'm trying to get him to go to sleep. And then all of a sudden, an hour into it, she realizes that I've got to drive to the Nevada-Utah border that same very day that I'm waking up. Because I have a show at a casino later that night. So
how far away is the Nevada-Utah border?
It's about a five-hour drive from here.
Because
you hit Vegas, you know how it's on that tapered end. Mm-hmm. So you hit Vegas and go an hour and a half like northeast, and you're right at the Utah Nevada border. And there's another casino there for Mormons who want to get crazy and buck wild and experience an orgy. A lot of Mormons think that as long as you're in the state of Utah, you're okay. So I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't go to Mormonism, but
she'll look that up on Wikipedia. Keep going.
What's the Latin term for Mormon? Mormon?
Backwards opila.
Oh, man.
Rongatopolis. All right, go on.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I wish that there was like this was kind of like Sliders, that show. Remember that?
I remember that.
Because remember that where they would travel through alternate realities, right? I wish that I could go to an alternate reality, although I don't want it to be different versions of you. I want it to be a different podcast that I host with another person with a religion that is different, just to see what they call you. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah,
like, I would
yeah.
love to sit here and hear what a Mormon thinks of someone who's Christian.
Let's get a Mormon on here.
I don't know any.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
Jerem the Mormon.
No, I don't know any that are here.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would love to get a Scientologist on here. I walked three Scientologists. I walked behind them for about 20 feet. That's an exaggeration. An under-exaggeration. I walked for about a half mile following them as they walked down the street because they were carrying a camera, and I didn't know what they were going to do. So I had just grabbed lunch, and
hold
I was
on.
Like,
are you treating Scientologists like they're terrorists? Like you?
No, they're so interesting, Scientologists, because they've always got some project or something that they're doing. And have you seen them, what they
no.
wear?
I just like that you got all Diane Fossey on them. Where you're
Bright Eyes is taking a camera with Digit and Mungaroo. Kind of.
They've gone to the Kookaroo, right? Which is odd, because usually on a Wednesday, they go to Sharky's.
That's where I was walking from. They were walking out of one building, walking down Hollywood Boulevard, carrying a camera, and they wear like what looks like Air Force uniforms. They have blue pants and then a white like dress shirt tucked in, and then they usually have pockets and some sort of emblem, so they could pass for like security guard maybe. But they're on some mission, so I was like, I'm just gonna walk behind. So I walked behind them, prayed while I went, and they were carrying some camera. And then he kind of walked into the street and started videographing the street as he walked down. I was like, what do they do? What are they up to? So I would love to meet a Scientologist.
Their escape plan, dude.
Might
they're going to get all 24 on Los Angeles. And
well, that's not the 44,000.
We crack the case right here.
Ah, yes.
That's what's going to happen.
Clue one.
Scientologists, they go all crazy. Like, they're like, oh, we just like to be positive. And they're really Muslim fundamentalists that are sent here. We need specialists to come back here.
Yeah, where's Rat
Man? Get back from space. And come down here and follow these Scientologists that are probably just making a school video.
That's probably true. Fair enough. So you pushed your son down the stairs today.
Yeah. So he...
I mean, you went to Utah.
Yeah. So I get up and then she goes back to sleep. So I've been up at 6:30 in the morning. At 9:30, I drove from Burbank all the way out to Mesquite, Nevada, about a five-hour drive. Yeah. Got there at about 2:30, 3-ish, you know. Checked into the hotel. It was 111 degrees there. So that was awesome.
111. Nice. Yeah.
And so I did the show. Show went great. After the show, sold some merchandise. Decided, you know what? Not that I'm judging, but I was just like, I would just want to go home. The hotel room wasn't extravagant, but it wasn't horrible. I've stayed in much worse. But so I go back. I'm like, I'm just going to drive home. It's only 5 hours. I'll get there 2:30 morning, about noon or noon, midnight.
Which is noon somewhere.
The opposite.
Probably in India.
Yeah. So I start getting tired, so I pound a Red Bull and keep on going, and I make it home. Totally fine. Like, it's a crazy experience to feel exhaustion and then to just take three sips of a beverage and then feel wide awake. Like, it's insane. That's all I kept thinking. Like, that's amazing what it just did to me.
It's not good. It's not good stuff.
It's the closest I felt like I could get to being a sim. You know what I mean? Where you could give them a cup of coffee and it equated to like 3 hours of sleep for them or whatever. So anyway, I keep driving. I make it home. She tells me all the stuff about her day at 2:30 in the morning. I pass out. I wake up at about 8 o'clock because he's ready to go. And then Sunday, I kind of have a quasi lazy day, and then I have to go do another show. But by the time I'm there at that other show, I'm still crashing. I realize that what the energy drink does is it's so caffeinated that it's like it just cranks you up.
Yep.
And so your body is still like, it's like you talked about idling. It's revved up at like 4,000 RPMs, ready to shift. Even when you're asleep, I think this is
did you take one of the ones with all the sugar in it? And
no,
stuff?
I did sugar free.
Oh, okay. Because I recently took the 5 hour energy drink, and that's all caffeine, and that jacked me up. It gave me the jitters. I was stuttering. It's supposed to give you no crash and no peak, just smooth energy. And I was about ready to jump out a window. I was out of my skin with nutsiness. It was closest I've ever gotten to being on crack.
No, it's because you felt like you had enough energy, you could flap your wings and fly?
Kind of. Yeah. Like, I was just...
I think I could do it.
I was like... And people would come by, and I could feel them walking outside my door. I'm just sitting, staring at my computer, trying to work. And I'm kind of tapping and moving around.
Energy drink for you gives you superpowers.
And I walk in...
It extends your sense of sense.
Yeah.
Beyond your office.
Well, I thought I was going nuts. I'm like, okay, I need to move. I need to go somewhere. So I just like went to the bathroom like 4 times, but I ran there and back down a whole hallway.
Was this by any chance? How close was this to when you were tracking Scientologists?
It was today.
Okay, today you did that.
So, and then I
but
ran.
But 5 hour energy was before.
No, that was the same time.
Oh,
I was
wow.
This was a very, very long 5 hours.
So I go and I do this show in Fullerton, and I just remember feeling exhausted, and there was only like 20 people there at the show, and they were sitting like 20 feet from the stage, and I was making more than $20. So I was like, oh, I got to get some energy.
Everybody gave you a dollar.
Yeah. Oh. The guy before me, the guy I was headlining, so the feature decided to dance. Like, he goes, if you guys want, I'll dance for you. Just find me some music. So...
What?
The promoter and the owner of the restaurant spent about maybe 2 minutes finding a song on their little skip. It was hilarious to watch them. I was looking at probably $1,000 worth of DJ equipment, like mixer board and all this stuff behind them. But all he had was this little Muzak thing to cycle through stations that you would play in an office or whatever.
Wow.
And so anyway, they found a song. I think it was Free Your Mind or something like that. And so he starts dancing. He takes off his belt, and he's doing like this humping motion with his belt and everything. And I'm like, oh, God, I have to follow this. Like, if my set doesn't go good, then some drunk person is going to yell, take off your clothes.
Right. Yeah,
I'm just going to be like, you know, I'm in the mood where I'm like, you know what? Fuck you.
And it would have been one of the best sets you've ever had.
Keep her more than $20. So anyway, I decide I'm going to have another Red Bull, only they didn't have the sugar-free variety. So I think after the two Red Bulls, that these 2 days, like, I'm just, I feel exhausted.
Oh,
like, I feel
down.
Just tired all the time, constantly. I almost, I fell asleep. Like, you know how you, not like, I haven't really done that completely, but you know how you kind of like nod off almost at the wheel of a car? Yeah, I've done that at the wheel of parenting today twice. Like he was jumping around on the bed and I was laying on the bed. I'm like, oh, this is kind of comfortable. Oh gosh. And he had like, but there was like a lapse of where he was here and then he's over here. That's where I slept.
So
like
he
moved 3 feet. Kind of, yeah.
That's great.
Parenting is easier when you're drunk because you don't care.
Man, why aren't we drunk? Why don't we get drunk on this show anymore?
I don't know, because I'm always full from dinner.
Yeah, we need to stop eating dinner and just drink more.
Okay, let's do it.
Soon I'll be married, so they can go off and feed the baby. We can just drink our dinner.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is this healthy?
Yeah.
This is totally fine.
It'll be fine. The tubular nanotechnology will rebuild our liver.
Was that Latin?
Huh? Yeah, I studied it up during... You nodded off.
Those are some fast 5 hours. All sorts of things happen. So my paradigm has been shifted since
okay, super pups.
To do super pups. Two things about that. One, you said that that I need to ditch the idea of it being a science educational portion of the show. Like, I wanted to include elements of science. I think that's just my draw towards science fiction in general.
Yes.
That'll be there. I can't pull it out because I love science.
Yeah, with the idea of puppies being superheroes and supervillains, that covers that, I think.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This is a little sarcasm. You're still not off that caffeine. Okay, next.
I didn't mean that to be mean, was it?
So, no. Oh. So, I really began to think, it's blinking. Is it blinking? Why is it blinking?
Oh, you scared the living hell out of me. No, that red light means that we peaked it.
Yeah, you can totally peak that. I want to do it again.
Do it again.
Oh, it's like instantaneous, too.
On one of the surveys, one of the dislikes was audio fluctuation, just so you know.
Fluctuations. That didn't peak it. Fluctuations. Fluctuation. There, that got it. Anywho, so you totally shifted my paradigm.
As an early adopter,
I'm all the time thinking.
Do you have notes on your iPad that you have prepared speeches?
No, I just get. It's called being professional. I come with material, Mr. Worship. So I began to think that that I really like your encouragement to do something other than other than not doing something, I guess is the only way to say it.
Yeah. All I was trying to say is that you're not a scientist. Although it was very impressive with your knowledge of Latin and your future of technology. That's sarcasm.
I've moved on.
Is that pretty good?
It was pretty good.
All right, good.
I'm very proud of you. No, what I've said is that for so long in my life, I've been wanting to do... I've only wanted to participate in media is if I was on the same level as something like Pixar or Batman. I don't know why those two. I don't even like Batman. But that's just not realistic, and I've always known that people who do that, there's not one person that does those things. It's hundreds of people that work on those sorts of projects.
For a lot of money.
Exactly. Or one piece of a very large pie. Like, it's an industry, and there's a whole bunch of other things that go in and out of that. And instead,
like, three guys work on McQueen's tires.
Yeah, exactly. For months. Mm-hmm. And that's all they do. So instead, why not I work on something that I can create for me? So that's sort of my new mantra that I'm chewing on. I have you to thank. I found that Wacom tablet for like $400 on
what?
eBay. So how many people have sponsored this?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah. That's why wouldn't I want to know?
I think we had about four.
Okay.
When this started.
How many did they give?
How much do they give? They give $2 a month.
Okay, so that's $8.
Since we put out the challenge, we have added.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second, because we can actually use this machine here. So I started with 4 subscribers, I think, and I'll check the math after this announcement. Since we put out the challenge to say once we get 200 subscribers, paid subscribers to this show, you will buy your tablet, we have had 1 new person.
So that gives us $10.
Yep.
This month.
Yep.
Next month, $20.
Well, the idea was is that then they could get it right away, and then they could cancel it also if they want. But now it works out that the show still costs me about $8 a month.
Why don't I just give you $8 a month?
Why don't you just buy your stupid tablet and make your show?
All of these seem like good options.
Well, one doesn't cost you money that goes into nothing.
Yeah, but I mean, you for so long have paid for the show, and I've contributed nothing but my awesome ability to be funny.
And that's enough.
I'm the second funniest person on the show.
That's enough.
Are you telling me to stop? Or?
No.
No, I'm saying I'm tired of being the bronze medalist.
Oh, who's the first funniest person on
the guests.
Show? So no one's funny tonight?
Probably not.
Or today, depending on what time we're listening
to. Or maybe
to
the
this.
Two of us are the first. But if you
tie.
Separate us, we're like the Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
With our powers and able to activate when separated.
All right, so what games have you been playing this week? Let's segue into that.
I picked up Mod Nation Racers.
Nice.
Which I'm a huge fan of for the PlayStation 3. For those of you unfamiliar, it looks like a ripoff of Mario Kart, and it probably is, but it's using the engine of Big People, Little Planet. Is
yeah.
that right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can customize the characters and customize the carts.
Cool.
And it gives you like limitless options almost. Like once you unlock all the stuff, like there's stuff you can buy and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then what's cool about it is that, say, I could design a cart and yep. a character, mm-hmm. and then I could share it on the interweb. And then you, Kevin, could run into me while we're racing or in the common
sure.
area or something like that. And you can look at what creations I've made. And if I've put them up there, then you can download them for yourself.
That's just like Spore.
Yeah.
That's how they work it.
So so I like the way that the game is made. I have a little bit of an issue with the like what I'll call the career mode, because that's what yeah. they call it.
Good. I like that you're using tangible words.
I was going to call it the campaign mode, but yep. then I realized they have a name and they called it career, and that makes more sense. So it's that they have like these individual challenges. Like right now, I have what they call the Indy body on my cart, and I want the Formula One racer Ooh. That I think is in there, but it's locked, right? So I want to unlock. You go through these career things, yeah. and you have these achievements. Like so,
wow,
for instance,
they've hooked you. The role-playing yeah. aspect of the game has got you in.
It's made me angry. I don't know if it's got me in.
You're not, because you're not an RPG kind of player.
No, you're... and I was thinking about this. It goes back to that Myers-Briggs thing
yeah.
that you were talking about in that. I look at this game, and I just want to check all the achievements yeah. off. I don't like the process. I'm like, so the one that I was playing today is that you have to run through the whole track, 3 laps,
yep.
without hitting the wall, and come in first place, and then you unlock this thing or whatever.
Blah.
It took me 45 minutes or more.
And was it fun? Did you have a good time?
And it, no.
Yeah.
No.
Why do we do these things to ourselves?
Well, and then I started, and it was funny, because I think it's because of that personality test. It's yeah. like a compulsion
yeah.
that I have, is that I have to check this off my list, then I can move on. I can't move on to another track until I can check that off
See,
my
I'll
list.
See, I was playing Outbreak, Avatar, Avalanche, Whitewash. It's the snowboarding game on the Xbox.
What?
Starts with an A.
Snowboarding game on the Xbox?
Outwhite. Christian got it for me. It starts with an A. Anyway, you get to a certain point in the game, because it's kind of RPG-based as well. As you play more missions, you go to different ski slopes in the real world, and you get more gear, and you get to new crazy stuff.
Is it
stuff.
That Shaun White snowboarding game?
No.
Don't worry about
it. And it eventually got to the point where I was trying to do this one pattern of things by grinding my board down on these impossible slopes. And I was doing it for about an hour, getting frustrated, nearly throwing my controller at the TV. And I thought, why?
That gets expensive.
Why am I playing? This is no
Amped.
Longer fun. Amped. Yes. You can see where I was getting most of those words.
Or the letter. There was just one letter.
Yeah.
That's all you gave me.
Yeah, yeah. Those words are accurate.
Yeah. So you're getting frustrated. You want to throw it, and you're like, why am I doing
why
this?
Why am I playing this game? Whereas you would be forced to keep playing. But let me ask you this. Why is it that you'll play a game like Dead Red Redemption or any of the Grand Theft Auto games that have a story in them? What makes you want to play those?
I like to see... I can tell you that I like the story. Like, I liked Heavy Rain,
yeah.
that game for the PS3, that it's like, it was like a movie where it's like there's this murder mystery, and there's a lot of aspects where you're almost just kind of going through the motions of
yeah.
it, but it was very, and it's not a lot of like quick time other than like little fights that you have. There's
yeah.
not a lot of quick things you have to do. So I like that aspect of the story, because I'm invested in these characters, and when it's really well designed graphically, and it's when
yeah,
it's really well acted vocally,
yep.
then I can buy into it. But like with games like Red Dead Redemption, I was doing it just because I'm like, oh, I like the idea of doing these things from the Old West.
Yeah.
But sometimes when the missions get repetitive, I'm like, yeah, we didn't need
yeah,
this.
Yeah, the grinding.
Yeah,
games,
exactly. Yeah.
It's always the same.
I don't need to break 14 horses. Like,
yep.
You know what I mean? Give me the option to skip some of this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and that's what brings us to the new game I'm playing. Can we patch me in?
Okay. Oh, you're turned on now.
And it's a really good game. I really like it. There's a download. So
is this that production thing you were talking about before?
We can cut this out in post. In the meantime, how about I peek the recorder?
I just did. I'll fix it.
Oh, wow. Is that the compressor?
No, that's me.
Oh.
Turning the the manual record volume down.
51%. How are we on time?
We're doing great on time. We have 7 minutes.
Oh, okay. Because we have to be done in an hour. Otherwise, some of our listeners get antsy.
Yeah, you guys don't know, but we finally have enough responses. And by enough, I mean we have 6 for the Second Funniest Podcast. Actually, 12, I think. Of the 20 that were needed between the two podcasts, we have 25 people that have filled out the survey. So when you get a chance, please, it really does help us. It helps, like, because here's the thing, too. If this show is going in a direction that you don't like, all you have to do is fill out the survey, and it'll change.
We're
going to
keep doing whatever we want, because we're doing the show for $8
and
a month.
If the show is doing what you want, like, if it is, then it takes care of my insecurity of needing to be validated in a live scenario, like stand-up comedy, because I could sometimes walk away going, oh, I hope it's what they want. I just have to constantly tell myself, no, that you're doing what they want. You're doing what they want. You're doing what they
want. There's at least 8,000 people downloading this every day, right? That's what I've come to understand.
I need to fix your understanding. Maybe I should speak to you in Latin when I talk about our...
Doing my impression of my dad. Well, in my opinion, there's about 8 million people listening. There's got to be...
We did have... I didn't have a chance to tell you. We did have another huge jump this month. Like, a significant jump. Like, within the first 2 weeks, we have... more than half of the downloads that we had the previous month.
Oh, nice.
And the previous month was a jump of about 700 downloads for the month.
Nice.
So
thanks for listening. Welcome to the Second Funniest
thank
Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Please tell more people. We appreciate you spreading the word via Facebook. Remember, you could go to secondfunniestpodcast.com, and if you have a favorite episode, right below it, there's a link that says share this via email, or you could click on the Facebook link, and it automatically links to the episode and puts it out on all your friends.
I'm going to do that.
So-and-so That's likes fun. This.
So the game I'm playing is the ever popular, totally amazing. Gosh, pause for effect. Really
Why
good.
Don't you just tell us?
No, because I wanted. I
didn't have to fire up Mod Nation Racers.
See, now we know what game you played. But I want to be like, this is the game I'm playing. And then the sound, da 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 da. But it's not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
That's not the game. Is it Deal or No Deal?
Ruined it. Da, 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 da.
I know what game it is. I can just ruin it
now. No, but don't ruin it. After all this, you're going to not give me the satisfaction?
I don't know. I kind of don't, honestly, if I'm being full disclosure.
Yeah.
I really want to say it right now.
I know you are.
But I'm trying to anticipate at the same... StarCraft.
StarCraft 2, Wings of Liberty. By the people who brought you World of Warcraft, Warcraft 3, Warcraft 2, and Warcraft, as well as StarCraft, Diablo, Diablo 2, and The Lost Vikings, but not StarCraft Ghosts, because they scrapped that game. StarCraft 2 takes place 4 years after the beloved StarCraft game.
4 minutes.
In which you boy the Hyperion with Raynor.
What did we choose to do there? Because it sounded like we took a gigantic space deuce.
We just launched the hood.
Oh.
Which is pretty much the same thing.
It's like a spaceship.
I launched the hood.
That's what I'm going to start calling it from now on when I go to the bathroom. Where are you going? I got to go launch the hood. What did he just say? Is he making a...
Most gamers will get what you've just
an
said.
An eco-friendly government... Government to find home. Oh, damn it. That's funny to me. HUD homes are, I think they're made for low-income housing or something. I got to look that up while you talk more about your Space Deuce game.
So, StarCraft 2.
Can you shit in this game?
Is there any potty humor?
I appreciate you for thinking about that.
I was trying to think if there's even a bathroom in the game. Are you familiar with the StarCraft? Have you played any of it?
I've seen it at your bachelor party.
Oh, that's it. Okay, so 13 years ago.
I know
ago,
it's like, for me, it's like Command & Conquer. It's real-time strategy.
But it's the biggest real-time strategy. Just like World of Warcraft is one of the biggest games in the world, they also made StarCraft, which is one of the biggest games in the world. It's actually the quote-unquote national sport of Korea. There are people that play it for tournaments in that country.
Wouldn't you like to go to Korea and see that in a stadium?
Punch it up on YouTube right now.
Like how many people? Like the same that would go to see a football game or what?
Not that many because it costs a little something to get in there. But the videos I've seen, there have been maybe 1,000 people, maybe 2, 3.
Watching people play this
watching
game.
Watching people on a big screen.
And reacting like, oh.
Yeah, and even more. Yeah.
What do I have to Google or put into YouTube to see these?
Korea, StarCraft tournament. Any of those words will find it. And
because one of the notes that we got, which I think is a valid note, is that people don't like it when we play videos that they can't see on the show. So I think that makes sense.
Note.
Yeah,
I think that's a valid note.
Like a video game right now.
Well, it's just the HUD. You can launch your own HUD. Yeah. So the thing that's so brilliant about StarCraft, if you first start playing the campaign, it seems very similar to the game about 13 years ago. And at the very top, I felt like, well, this is just the same thing again. But they've taken the game to a whole nother level, and the campaigns, the missions, have different goals and things. So one of my favorites has been you have to wipe out the surrounding nests of the Zerg, which are these alien-like aliens.
Oh, Buzz Lightyear's nemesis, I'm familiar.
Yeah, same guy. So you have to wait until the night comes, or the day comes, so you can go out there and start killing them. And then the moment the night starts, then they start flooding your base. You have to defend yourself. And then the moment the sun rises, they all burn to a crisp and die in front of you. It's pretty great. And there's a lot of, and they clock it down for you at 30 seconds to get scurry back to get all your men back to the base. And you, it's a great little campaign. And then they have really amazing moments in the game where you come towards choices, moral choices, where you decide who to fight for on a certain planet, and depending on your choices, of course.
So you're like a third, like America coming into World War II.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like you kind of go, okay, well, the Japan pushed me to one side.
And even more difficult than that, where it seemed obvious. Like, if we were always going to jump into the World War II, we were going to join the Allied powers.
I just like your initial concept of, hold on, my decision is more difficult than the one Roosevelt pulled back when.
His decision was fight or not fight, not whose side to fight on. That was my point.
Oh, okay.
Or like an Infamous, where you're given moral decisions, where you have to decide, are you going to be good or evil? It's pretty black and white.
In his defense, though, there were real people involved. Like, I think that you and I are the kind of person.
Video games.
Hold on.
Oh,
but you and
God
I are the kind of person. Seriously.
I know you're serious. It's the second funniest podcast, not the second most social historical podcast.
I'm not saying that.
Your carbon nanotube technology.
Listen
Go
to
on,
me
sir.
Talk about video games, jackass. I'm saying that all too often we get too wrapped up in the stupid decision of, oh gosh, because that Infamous game.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
For a person who likes to check things off their list, Infamous for the PlayStation 3. Where it's like it makes you decide, are you good or bad? Certain things affect you. Like, what I want to do is I want to be perfectly good.
Yeah, that's
and then
what I did.
I want to be perfectly bad.
That's what I did.
I know, that's what I did too. But this idea of, oh, which moral decision should I make? It doesn't really
matter.
Well,
that's what I'm telling you. In this game, it's not so clear-cut, black and white. You're forced with choices where you don't
really
know.
But how do they affect your game?
Pretty dramatically. So in this one series of stories, you're help rescuing these colonists that have been attacked by the Zerg, and then you help move them to another planet on the outskirts of Protoss space. And so later they call you back.
Oh, Protoss?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I spent my wife won a trip there once.
It's a Zerg, Protoss, and Terrans. Those are the three major races.
Wait, Zerg was there at Protoss?
Yeah.
No, this wasn't the place.
So then they call back and they say, we're under attack by the Protoss. Help us. And the Protoss get on the screen and they say, well, this colony is infested with Zerg, and so we need to kill them all because they're going to infest the...
They got an outbreak.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the Crazies, a great movie.
And you're an ally with these Protoss. You've have a good relationship with them, and it's really important to keep them.
So the Protoss are your friends.
Yes.
And then there's these other people who are underdogs.
They're your colonists, buddies that you've worked to save in like
four
other
missions. So both of them are your friends.
And they're saying, who are you going to fight for?
Oh, man.
So it's tough. You're looking at the screen going, and you're forced to make a decision.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm sitting here right now going, Germany, England.
I knew you were trying to get that back into a joke. I could feel it. There's a reason why we don't talk about games on this show and review them, because you can't take it seriously.
I just did take it seriously.
You bring up World War II and you get all gittery. So, but the thing that's so great about it, of course, is the campaign and then also the head-to-head modes. And it's really like an accelerated game of chess, because there are so many different tiers and then strategies you can use. I recommend it. It's worth the money. It's a trilogy as well. They've released Wings of Liberty, which is the Terran points of view, and then you'll see the Zerg and the Protoss later.
Now, this is interesting. A lot of things keep coming back to this Myers-Briggs thing for me, because
that shifted your paradigm, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
You're welcome.
It gave me an orgasm.
What?
The So in my head, I go, "You'll see." And that's what but I was like, "Eh, I don't know if everybody will get that." But anyway,
I'm getting married in 18 days.
So my point is that I feel like when I play a real time strategy, like on paper, it looks great to me. But I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, this planning aspect of me makes it seem like, okay, I need a series of motions that I could go through that will lead to victory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to be able to lay that out.
That's why games like The Sims and SimCity you were not into.
Yeah, because it's about this process of building
or
this ambiguous
Warcraft.
Army or, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't like that.
This game has a beginning, middle, and end.
But I do like, this is the other thing I was going to say before, like, speaking on Mod Nation Racers and Red Dead Redemption, my favorite game, I think, that I've played thus far, like my favorite video game, are the two Uncharted games.
Mm.
Those, both of them were unbelievable. Like, I was in it, and I that's one of the few games in my lifetime, other than like a sports game, that I'm like, I really don't want to stop playing.
Well, that and the fact that you were using a giant computer to try to play them on and calculate the atomic bomb.
See, you know, but what, I don't understand why is that bad.
How come when I try to involve a back to World War II trivia, it doesn't annoy you? Damn it.
Because
on behalf of my good friend Justin Worsham.
Okay, bye. Oh, that's funny. It's been an hour four. We could have said it right there.
We probably should.
It would have been funnier if we would have pretended to be angry at each other.
That's the end of the show.
We should do that one time. We should just end the show
you
where it sounds like we're.
It. Huh? No, that's not the
Hold
kind
on.
Of show that we
not,
do.
Here's what we do.
I am not going to end a show with us feigning anger at each other.
Part of this survey was said that probably about 30% of the people surveyed, which is about six.
Yeah.
So two people that surveyed were surveyed said that they do not listen to all of the new episodes.
Listen,
right?
I'm not feigning anger to end a podcast with
Why?
You. Never.
Oh, you're doing it right now.
Oh, good. You got on.
We can't do it at this one. This
Why not?
Is the one where we're establishing that it's going
to
happen.
I haven't even been listening to most of this podcast.
Stop trying to make me angry and listen.
Listen, you listen. I'm going to launch StarCraft. I'm just going to start playing right
no,
now.
No, don't start playing StarCraft. Did I interrupt you talking about StarCraft?
No, not at
How
all.
Did, which decision did you make?
I that? Can't tell you.
Why?
Because it's morally implicit. I sided with the colonists. Of course, that's a spoiler alert that I just told all that. But
How
the
is it
decision,
a spoiler alert?
I guess, well, I'm not going to tell you what happens. As
yeah, exactly.
So I decided to side with the
colonists. Because everybody's going to get to that decision.
Yeah, exactly. But I won't tell you what happens as a result.
Tell
so
us.
No,
Tell
I am
us.
Not fighting you.
Tell us
when you.
We need to know.
No, you'll find out for your own.
How will Roosevelt know who to attack?
Japan.
You could be able to see the future for him.
They bombed Hawaii. Attacked Japan.
Yeah, and then Japan crushed our motor industry. Maybe we go back. We fight England. They're a bunch of pansies anyway. That's why I'm talking to you, PJ.
Are you signing up with the Axis powers?
Huh?
What is wrong with you?
Other than the whole Jew thing, Hitler wasn't that bad.
Wow. That's,
man of the century.
That is offensive.
No, on the survey, it says none of our listeners are Jewish.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I'm pretty sure this episode's ripe. Maybe we should plug it.
Oh, man.
So,
you sided with the Protoss.
I said, no, I sided with the colonists.
The colonists. You ditched your friends, the Protoss.
Got it, because we just spent three missions trying to save their lives. I wasn't about to be like, oh, well, sorry, you're all dead now. Because the scientist lady said she had a cure, and so maybe she'll figure out a cure.
And so you didn't necessarily eradicate the Protoss.
I stopped their super weapon from killing the planet.
Yeah, but there's more Protoss around.
Oh, there's millions of
but
them.
But, I mean, you killed a lot of Protoss.
I did, and they're going to be bummed. They're going to teleport in more later.
Man, that's rough. That's rough.
To play this game. So get StarCraft II: Wings of Liberty. It
Do you have a gamer tag that you could tell people about?
Yes. Am I December 21? Or maybe the Kevin Miller. Probably the Kevin Miller.
Okay.
You're saying get Mod Nation?
I think so. I think it's a game that's made for Kevin Miller in that you could... We'll do it after this. Let's wrap this up and we'll play and I'll show it to you.
Before the ladies come downstairs.
Exactly. And then we'll talk about it. But real quick, I want to wrap up with these emails. Our good friend Jessica, who suggested the slug bug trivia challenge. She's also... Jessica's a huge fan of you because every time she sends these to me, she calls them trivia challenges. She doesn't call them topics.
That's right, because she's a listener.
She's says,
good. A plus.
She says, I would love to see the animated comic, so get your ass on Super Pups and your little karma thing, board. What is it called again?
What the hell?
A whack-em board?
Whack-em. Whack-em. Whack-em tablet.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
whack-em. Oh, I got it right. Nice. Nailed that one.
Whack-em.
She said, I heard that there is a new religion based off of Stephanie Meyer's Twilight books. It is called Cullenism. I think it would be interesting to hear what you have to say about that. So next week we have a trivia challenge of Cullenism, which I am very excited
let's
for.
Let's do it. Well, let's also see if we can get our hands on some Twilight games and
oh, okay.
And,
do they have a
games
for them?
It makes a lot of money.
I think it's called Spin the Bottle. For 14-year-old girls. Yuck, yuck, yuck. If you want to send us an email, go to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 408-228-4911. I am going to be at I'm going to be at the River Center Comedy Club August 18th through... Oh, this is in the middle of that. Screw that. This is a horrible plug. Way to go, Justin. I'm going to be at Laughs Unlimited Old Sacramento August 25th through 29th. For all my stand-up dates, you can go to justincomedy.com. Please, please, this is the real thing I just wanted to say. Take the survey. It really is interesting for me. I can't speak for my good friend Kevin Miller.
I'm interested.
Which reminds me, I forgot our intro. Anyway, I like to hear the feedback about
this. Oh, good for you.
I got to get that as a drop. I love Christian Bale's, oh, good for you, when he went off on that lighting guy or whatever. So that's going to be in there because it makes me laugh every single time. So please take the survey. If you do one thing for us, it really does help us to give some insight. We want to start talking about video games more on the show. So I want to say, if you like that plan, great. If you don't, let us know in the surveys. I don't know that it'll change our mind. But
until we get bored with it, like trivia challenges.
Exactly. Well, we're not bored, Jessica. We're not bored with your trivia challenges. What the hell are you trying to do to me, Miller?
I don't know, Jessica.
Anyway, on behalf of my good friend, the early adopter, the Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham saying, okay, bye.